Let us turn in our Bibles now to that passage we read earlier in Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13, beginning with verse number 15, all the way down to the end of verse number 22. And our title this evening is this: The Sabbath Remains Vital. The Sabbath Remains Vital. This may seem like a strange topic on a Wednesday evening, and I'm sure after a day working or laboring in various different ways, to think about the Sabbath in the middle of the week. But I think it's important that we do, as God's people, prepare our hearts for that wonderful day that awaits us all, that first day of the week. And I hope we see that really the Sabbath day we should long for. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, as it gets closer, we long to be on that day, the best of days. An early church father, Ignatius of Antioch, called the Sabbath day the chief and queen of all the days. It's one of my favorite quotes. It's the best day. It's a day that we get to spend time with the Lord. It's not a day to endure. It's not a day to count down the minutes till Monday returns. It's a wonderful day, a day of rest, a day of refreshment, a day to unburden, a joyful day. But it can, of course, be neglected. And I'm sure we see many examples around us in our day that would give us pause and make us very sad to see. Just like in Nehemiah's day, we live in a day where the Sabbath day is neglected. In the days of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was greatly burdened, hearing of the plight of Jerusalem. At the beginning of this book, he hears, and he's absolutely devastated that the walls are broken down. And he's devastated to hear of the condition of the people of God. But by God's grace, he was sent from where he was, a very important man in the Persian Empire. And he's sent, after praying, by the Persian ruler, and indeed by God. And there's much blessings that come. There's rebuilding that takes place. Repentance takes place. Covenanting takes place. Public oaths that they will follow the law of God, cleave unto it, separating from their previous sinful practices. So much good comes about. Nehemiah then goes back to serve under the king. And now he's returned. And Nehemiah chapter 13 is Nehemiah returning to find what exactly? Does he come back to find covenant keeping? Does he come back to find them keeping their promises not made that long ago? We must, friends, ever be on our guard. For this chapter shows us, and even in our own day by experience, things can change quickly. Very quickly. We must ever be on our guard. For the Sabbath day really reveals a lot about our spiritual condition. And indeed, across the Western world, whether it's here in Scotland, where I live in Northern Ireland, America, Canada, Australia, the Sabbath day is even rejected out of hand by many within the church. Where does it show where we are today? And ultimately, while we long for the Sabbath day to come, we long for an eternal Sabbath. A rest, a wonderful, joyful rest in eternity. Our first point that we're going to look at here this evening is number one, the law. The law, and that is speaking about the law of God. Verse number 15 reads as follows: In those days saw I in Judah some treading winepresses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens. which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. If we think about the law of God, there's often a negative idea, isn't there? We don't like to be told what to do. But we must not have a negative view of the law of God. God's law, the things he tells us to do, are good things. They're good for our soul. They bless. They help us. They bring us away from that which is bad for us. Sin, which is miserable. And sadly, many young people, and indeed even older people, are discovering this by painful experience. The way, that wide way, that leadeth unto destruction is a miserable road. But the way of peace, that way of following the Lord, is a wonderful path. It is a path of blessing. It's a path of wisdom. So, while we may think of the law in a negative way, we should never do so. We can never keep the law enough to satisfy the demands of the law. Jesus did that. But it is a wonderful thing. We fall short, but it remains the blessed thing that it is. So when God's people, and this is God's people we're speaking about here in this passage, reject God's law, it is serious. It is serious. What Nehemiah saw on returning was very, very serious. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. He became, and you can even see it in other parts of Nehemiah 13, he became very, very angry. Irate with the return back to sin. Now we need to be careful not to make the Sabbath something that it is not. The Sabbath is not something horrible and oppressive. Actually, usually, we fall into one of two errors. The Sabbath is turned into something horrible and oppressive beyond what it was meant to be. Or, it is rejected entirely. Now we should be allowed, and we should do, necessary things. There are things on the Sabbath day we should do. Dairy farmers must milk their cows. There are certain roles. Mothers must feed their children. And even children, after a service of worship, when they've been sitting so well for a whole thing, they should be able to run around a little bit to get out their energy. There's a mercy and a love that should be expressed in the keeping of the Sabbath day. But there are clear examples when the Sabbath is rejected. Unnecessary work. Work that does not need to be done on that day. And we see it here in this passage. Some treading the wine presses. Why does that need to be done? Bringing in the sheaves. Surely that can be done the next day. And put on their donkeys or asses. And all these jobs that are burdens ever since the fall. Now, work is a good thing. Work has been there since before the fall. But ever since the fall into sin, work has become difficult, a burden, hard. It becomes tiresome. We actually become exhausted. So we need this day. We need this refreshment. And we see in this verse unnecessary work. Really, often chasing after material goods of this world. What does the law of God state? Well, the law of God states in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 8 to verse number 11. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 8 down to verse number 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. And just pausing there a second, in our text we see even the animals are even to have a kind of rest. Why? Why is this law still, well, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And we are to be followers of God, aren't we? We're to follow God. Now, God does not get tired. It's not like God needs a break and needs a rest. But he created and did all the created work in 6 days and rested the seventh for a reason. So we would follow and imitate him. It's not something horrible or oppressive. The law of God is something wonderful. And this law is something different. Often we might say, oh, that's the Old Testament. But this was written by the finger of God. It's an eternal, unchanging law. Now, when we pass from this world, when our spirit leaves this body, when we go into eternity, there won't be any time. And it will be an eternal Sabbath. Does that sound horrible to you? To be in eternity, to be with the Lord, to be find refreshment, to be removed from burdens and difficulties and trials? I hope that doesn't sound difficult and horrible to you. That's wonderful. It's what we should all long for. So the law of God is perfectly kept, isn't it? In heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is a place of blessing. Heaven is a place of eternal rest. In verses 16 of our text, there dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. The world will do what it does. Tyre and others, they will try to sell and try to not keep the law of God, and they'll want more money. But we, as the people of God, must be about serving the Lord. Verse 17, then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day? Why are you doing this? And you notice, this is, and this comes at the end of a long process for Nehemiah. A lot of work has gone in. He goes away, he comes back. Friends, don't we need a rest, a day of rest, refreshment? Jesus Christ is the fountain of living waters. We live in a world that's a wilderness, sinful, suffering. And what do you seek for when you travel through that wilderness? Refreshment. Water. And Christ is the fountain of living waters. That's where we find unburdening our soul. So that's the law. Number one, the law. And the law is good. Number two now, the lesson. The lesson. And as we see with the people of God in the Old Testament, and the book of Nehemiah and other places, God's people, and us included, we often have to learn the hard way, don't we? So often, so many of our lessons are painful experiences. And we go through things and we go, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to really, and you maybe warn someone else. Lessons. Painful experience. If you read through the history of the church, we write books about different things that happened in the past, warning the next generation, do not follow this example. Turn from this way. Nehemiah brings up the fathers. Verse 18, did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. At the beginning of the book, he's devastated because he realizes what it means to have the city of Jerusalem in ruins. The wall is broken down. In Nehemiah 1 verse 3. Let's remind ourselves where they came from. This is the news that came to Nehemiah before this. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity were in the province are in great affliction and reproach. This is a great reproach. This is a shame. Jerusalem is to be glorious and wonderful and point to the Lord. And it says, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down and the gates thereof are burned with fire. How did Nehemiah react? I heard these words and I sat down and wept and mourned. Nehemiah is absolutely devastated. And then he's brought, and they bring in these reforms, this rebuilding, this progress, and then they fall back again. Painful experience. And when we see, we can learn from good examples, and you can also learn from bad examples. The good examples, you can learn what things to do. And sometimes the bad examples, the path not to go. The sins of our fathers. The sins of a previous generation. Now we can learn much, and I'm sure you have, from a previous generation. That could be a sobering question. Are there sins of our fathers in our own generation? Is there anything that we may unquestionably just learn? It's not according to the Word of God. And we thank God for anything good we have learned. But at the same time, we must reject anything that is sinful. You see, even their fathers fell into this error. And it brought wrath upon the city of God. And it made them weak. The walls fell down and open to all the enemies of God. What kind of sins? Well, perhaps within the family. Marriages. Those seem weaker than they ever have in a long time. How can we change? We need the Lord's help, don't we? To love our family. Love our husbands. Love our wives. Love our children. Love our grandchildren. Encourage them in the ways of the Lord. Perhaps division. We should pray for unity among God's people. There's so much judgment in recent times. Ought we not to listen to what the Lord is telling us in providence? And sometimes we can see it in the rejecting of God's word in law in the public square in the Sabbath day. Sports. You'll see traffic jams. You're going to church and there's traffic jams everywhere if you're around a football stadium anywhere. But hardly anybody's interested in going to church. As we said earlier, we must not invent and make the Sabbath day burdensome. The Sabbath day is not burdensome. It's a removing of burdens. It's finding refreshment. The Sabbath day can't be, you see all those fun things you do all the other 6 days of the week? You can't do those. And if we tell our children that, or the next generation that, what's going to happen? The best day of the week is the Sabbath. And they forgot this. And they forgot the joy of it. They forgot to delight in it. But we also need to make sure we don't just surround ourselves with entertainment. We need joy, God's joy, the joy that we get from being with the Lord. That joy that you have when you're in prayer and you feel closer to the Lord than you ever did before. That kind of joy that is not just even having jokes, and there's nothing wrong with that in the right context, but the joy that comes from being close to the Lord. And the world wants to come in, doesn't it? The world wishes to take us away from that Sabbath rest and that Sabbath joy. But we must be ever on our guard. Which brings us to our third point. Our third point. The lookout. The law is good. The lesson can be painful, as Nehemiah brings up in verse 18. But verses 19 and 20, to look out. We're to be on our guard. We're to watch. We're to watch. Verses 19 and 20, and it came to pass when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gates that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kinds were lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. You see who's outside of the merchants and the sellers. They're just waiting outside of the gates. Cannot wait to come in. Nehemiah, what is he seeking to do? He's seeking to be faithful to God. He's seeking to keep out that which is against God. Closes the gates, preventing the buying and the selling on the Sabbath day. Sometimes we may have discussions about certain things on the Sabbath day. Should you do this? And how far can you travel? Can you go for walks of a certain length? But there's certain things that there's no debate about. Trading, selling. But look how eager sinners are. They wait outside the city walls. They lodge of all kinds outside Jerusalem. The world, the flesh, and the devil cannot wait to come in. They cannot wait to come into the church and to dominate and to make the city of God, the church of the living God, go according to a different law. Not the law of God, but the law of the world, to break God's law. Verse 22, and I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates and sanctify the Sabbath day. Keep the gates. Guard the gates. Protect that which is important. To sanctify the day. To be on guard. To keep the world and its corruption out. Now, we are fallen sinners. We could be alone, and we are still fallen sinners. We can sin by ourselves. So being alone and cut off from the rest of the world is not the answer. But the answer is shutting out all those things that would lead us away from the Lord. The early church at times would think, well, as long as you're away from a lot of people, it would help. It didn't. It led to various corruptions like monasticism much later. We need to be on our guards, not just even of the church, our own hearts. Our own hearts. The world and the flesh and the devil wish to come in. They want to come in. They can't wait to come in. They're waiting outside, waiting to come in through those gates. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23. It says this. Keep thy heart, that is like guard thy heart, with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. Keep, protect, with all diligence, literally above all keeping. There's a guarding that takes place. And why are you protecting your heart? Because you don't trust your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not in thine own understanding, because once you let the world, the flesh, and the devil in, it will change you. It will corrupt you. Yes, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. If we truly know the Lord, nothing will take us away from that. Absolutely nothing. But yet, even as believers, we can and do at times drift from God. We can. When we let these things enter into our minds, enter into our hearts, robbing us of the refreshment in Christ. And what day of the week of your week do you think the devil is going to attack the most? Bring the most distractions, temptations, trials, difficulties. The Sabbath day. And that is a day that needs to be guarded. Because there's enemies at the gates who wish to come in. The devil is a roaring lion who seeketh whom he may devour. He does not want you coming to the house of God. To the house of bread and being fed and refreshed. He wants weak, divided, bitter Christians. Because they're a lot easier to pick off. Sheep that have drifted from the flock. Discouraged. But we come and find refreshment with the Lord on the Sabbath day. But we must keep out these things. We must keep out these things that would rob us. So perhaps you're struggling today in your walk. And you may be searching for the answers. Why? Why is there such difficulty? And you may not, there might not be an obvious answer that is coming into your mind of why you're struggling in your walk or your prayer life. Or to read your Bible even. Maybe you can't read half as much as you did before. And you're wondering, why am I at this stage right now? Is it possible? It's because something has come in to your heart. I can't tell you what that is. You have to search your heart and cry out to the Lord for these answers. But you may be exhausted from the world. Perhaps because you haven't found that refreshment on the Sabbath day. Guard your heart. And the Sabbath day is a day to prepare ourselves for. A day to get excited for. Everyone in the world gets excited about certain days of the year. They all get excited about December 25th. And other days like that. Why? Because man gave it to us. This is the day God gave us. Do we get excited about that day? And our fourth and final point is this. The liberty. The liberty. So we've looked at the law. The law is good. It's a blessing to our souls. The lesson, and sometimes going away from this can be a painful and difficult experience. We have to learn the hard way. The lookout. We must be on our guard. And you can see, even in verse 22, keep the gates. Why? To sanctify the Sabbath day. We must ever guard our hearts. And our final and fourth point is the liberty. We need to see the law of God as a wonderful freeing thing. If you see people in certain parts of the world who live in oppressive, difficult countries, countries where they have no freedom, they are afraid to speak or to say anything against their government, sometimes even in another country. But to follow the Lord is not so. Yes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but this is a different type of fear. This is a fear of awe. This is a fear of wisdom. It says in Psalm 119 and verse 97. Psalm 119 and verse number 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And this law is called the perfect law of liberty. James chapter 1 and verse 25. James chapter 1 and verse number 25. The word of God reads in verse 25 of James chapter 1. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Blessed in his deed because of the freedom. The freedom. And the devil is an enemy outside of the gates, seeking to come in, seeking to bring captivity. And whenever God's people
in the Old Testament succumbed and gave way to the nations around them, embraced their idols, embraced their sin. Guess what happened? Did they gain more freedom? No. They were brought into captivity. They faced years, 70 years, in exile in Babylon. And it was the Lord who set them free. Time and time again, the freedom that they enjoyed, that they were back in the land, the Lord brought them there. Their sin, our sin, brings us back into slavery. Now, if we are saved in Jesus Christ, we are free in Christ. But there are times when we can live as if we're still captives to certain sins. And we have to, in our walk, we have to put sin to death. There's still things we wrestle with. There are still things that even to a degree are burdensome, but to follow the Lord is not burdensome. It is light. In verse 19, once again, the gates were shut and not to be open on the Sabbath day. And then at the end it says that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. No burden on the Sabbath day. Matthew 11 and verse 30. Matthew 11 and verse number 30 says this, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But does the fallen world think this way? Does the world out there think it's a wonderful, liberating, joyful thing to follow the Lord? To keep the Sabbath day? And even today, in Christian circles, we talk about keeping the Sabbath as if it's something cruel and burdensome. Now, it has been done in a bad way in certain circles in the past. Of course it has. But any of the Ten Commandments can be abused and misused. But the true law of God is liberating. It's refreshing. Jesus said to them, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he's given us a day in seven to find a taste of rest, a taste of liberty, a taste of freedom that comes. In so many ways, the Lord shows us, his people, tastes of that freedom. In Egypt, Pharaoh wanted to bring extra burdens upon him, didn't he? And to laden them. To bring accusations and other things. Make them slaves. But it was God who brought them through the Red Sea. God who parted the waters and liberated them and brought them freedom. He brings them back again. Once more out of captivity from Persia. Who took over the Babylonian Empire. Do you think about heavenly freedom? None of us know how long we have left. Doesn't matter whether we're old or young, whether we're the doctor has told us we're healthy or unhealthy. We don't know. We don't know how long we have left in this world. This life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. It feels more and more, the longer we're on this earth, the more we understand the idea of a puff of smoke. This life seems to go so quickly. We wish we could get back some of that time we lost at certain periods of our life. But we have eternity to gain. We have eternity ahead of us. There is no time in eternity. A place where there is complete removal of burden. I want us to think about this. The world we live in as believers is hard. It's hard to live here. Because there's sin. The sin in this world. We love righteousness, so when we see sin, it makes us sad, doesn't it? If you see somebody take the Lord's name in vain, it's cut you in your heart. Your Savior has been mocked. It's hard. But the freedom. And that's just one aspect of it. In eternity, we won't even want to sin. We won't even be tempted by sin. It won't even enter into our minds. Isn't that wonderful? We won't want to sin in heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth. That is the greatest freedom of all. And to see Him, who is altogether lovely. Does this, friends, make you want to follow Nehemiah's example? Sometimes we can read this and go, oh, that Nehemiah, he was a bit strict, wasn't he? Why don't we just keep going, live and let live. But Nehemiah loved his God. He was keeping out that which would corrupt the city of God. And he was zealous for this. Or do we wish to follow that which burdens us and weighs us down and often brings us to ruin? Friends, today is Wednesday. How many days away from the Sabbath? I wonder, do you count down the days of someone's birthday? I wonder, do you count down the days to a special event? Every week we get a special day. You get a day of celebration, a day, a foretaste of the heaven to come. Does that sound like a bad thing to you? I hope not. The Sabbath, it blesses, it does not oppress. It brings refreshment, it brings joy and peace. And so as we come closer to that day, may we prepare our hearts for it. And may we glorify God in all that we do. Whatsoever we eat, whatsoever we drink, may all be done to the glory of God. Let us stand as we pray before Almighty God.